This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. We've talked in the past about efforts to preserve Charlotte's history, but in order to really achieve that goal, preservation efforts must also extend to the towns that surround Charlotte. If you are a preservationist, the good news is that even as Charlotte has been working to do just that in the face of encroaching growth and development, so have many of those surrounding towns, sometimes taking aggressive, even controversial steps to do so. We're going to take a closer look at that this hour with Dan Morrill, area historian and director of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Historic Landmarks Commission. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. And now, don't Hello. Be quiet. This is
Hello.
Radio.
Hello.
Very strange, man.
You too.
That's
you
right.
Too.
Exactly right. Takes one to know one. We're also joined by Jim Taylor, the mayor of Matthews.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine.
And George Fowler, the mayor of Pineville.
Good morning.
You're the two sane people in the nutbag here. So,
Dan, with a balance.
That's exactly right. Dan, you told us that the Historic Landmarks Commission has provided the help to the towns of Pineville and Matthews and Davidson and Huntersville, but that Mint Hill has not called upon your services in recent years.
They didn't sign the interlocal agreement.
Why not?
I just got something bad down my throat.
Have some water.
I did. That's okay. What caused it.
Okay.
I drank the water. I think that they aren't fully aware of what the implications of signing that interlocal agreement are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they want to wait until we have a specific project in mind.
So what is the interlocal agreement?
We are consolidated. We are functionally consolidated. People talk
we
about consolidated. The Landmarks Commission is consolidated. We have interlocal agreements with Pineville, Matthews, Huntersville, and Davidson. Cornelius has its own separate commission mm-hmm. to be their Historic Landmarks Commission, as well as for Mecklenburg County and the City of Charlotte. And we're not the only agency that's covered by an interlocal agreement. There are other agencies as well. These are sort of formal agreements that we will serve their mm-hmm. needs in that regard.
Well, you're right next door to Mint Hill.
We are, yes.
Why haven't they done this?
I can't answer that question. You should have Ted Biggers here from Mint Hill to answer that question. I honestly don't know.
And when you look around Mecklenburg County, is there still a lot? I've been taken to task by Dan Morrill in the past when I have said we've taken down and torn down all of our history in Charlotte, and he assured me that that's not true. And we did a whole hour on how that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
How is the rest of the area faring?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize Mecklenburg County is not one place. You'd be surprised how many people do not realize Davidson is in Mecklenburg County.
Hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of people who don't realize that. And these towns, and we'll get into this, what they really aspire to be is locally special.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte aspires to be nationally important. And therefore, Charlotte wants to be the New York of the two Carolinas. That's why it gets so lathered up over this Democratic National Convention,
right.
Because it will bring national attention to the city. That's not the desire of Matthews or Pineville mm-hmm. or Huntersville or Davidson. So there's a very different political reality to the special nature of old buildings in these towns. Because now you're from the D.C. area. I tell you, one of the most disturbing things is to drive through the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and you see all these wonderful names for these towns, and it's like an unending 40-mile Wilkinson Boulevard.
Right.
I mean, just they've completely lost any sense of their own individual identity, and you almost wait for the moment when you will break out of this suburban sludge.
But not in Virginia.
Well, Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
I understand. Well, that's because you've got a strong historical sense, you know. I can't remember whether you're from Arlington or Alexandria. Alexandria's got a strong, after all, that's where Robert E. Lee grew up. There's a very different consciousness about old buildings in these outlying towns than there is in the city of Charlotte. It's just a reality.
He brings up an interesting point that Charlotte is striving to be nationally known, and you want to be locally prominent. And I would think, that particularly your two towns, Matthews and Pineville, and probably Huntersville, and we couldn't have everybody on the program,
right.
because they're the closest in to Charlotte, are really fighting a tough battle beyond historic preservation, just maintaining an identity. Why is that so important at this stage of your development?
Well, it's people identify with the community in which they live. And in Pineville and Matthews, you have people who have lived there for a long, long time. And so they want to have that identity, want to, when you leave the Charlotte city limits and go into the Pineville town limits, that you can at least tell a difference, or you can see something that's different about it. And the other thing, too, is for a town to flourish, for a town to succeed, it has to have things that give it an advantage over living there, where living somewhere else might not be as much an advantage. But at least in your town, where people see that an advantage, and that can be in the form of tax rates, in the form of town services, in the form of recreation, but certainly in the form of an identity, much like you see Mayberry on television. It's a thing that people adhere to, and we have people who have moved to Pineville from outlying areas and from up north, and they'll just tell us how much they really love our town. Mm-hmm. I just love Pineville, and I'm sure Jim gets that in Matthews as well. And I think to myself, you know, if you'd have been here 30 or 40 years ago, you really would have loved Pineville. But it is a struggle to keep that identity, because Charlotte is the driving engine in Mecklenburg County. It comes out from Charlotte, the growth and everything with it. And it's a struggle for all of us to keep that identity, to keep a tax rate that's affordable, to keep things that people see as an advantage of being in our communities.
It is a struggle, as George says, but it's a struggle with trying to retain the identity that people that have lived there for a long time have learned to grew up with and love, the new people that have come in and moved to the area because of the identity, mm-hmm. and then balancing that with economic growth, development, and building for the future. You know, we've done a very good job, I think, in a number of the towns in doing that, but it's a balancing act. It's definitely a balancing act. The one you can't move forward and destroy your history. You have to maintain the history, because that's what brought a lot of the people there in the first place.
Well, I was going to ask you what role historic preservation plays mm-hmm. in maintaining this identity. And what you're saying is it gives a sense of place?
It does give a sense of place. It gives a sense of place. It gives a sense of nostalgia for the people that have been there for a number of years. And it also has, to George's comment about Mayberry, people love to see a Mayberry-esque type of a place. And it's a down-home friendly feeling. And when you come 12 miles outside the city limits or from the center city of Charlotte, you have, in Matthews anyway, you have a beautiful oasis, just 12 miles from the big center city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm not sure how the distance from actually from downtown Pineville, but it's probably pretty close. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the economic engine of Charlotte is what allows the surrounding communities, the surrounding towns to be able to flourish.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things, I'm going to suggest an issue. Could you explain the light rail line and your...
You're jumping the gun on me, but go ahead.
I know.
I was going to get to that after I did the nice stuff.
You do it. Your show.
You go ahead.
No, but it's so interesting because you were approached about Pineville being the terminus of the Blue Line. And obviously it's not the terminus of the Blue Line. What was that issue and why? What was your... explain that to us just briefly.
Well, density, for one. There was a requirement that, as I recall, 2,500 or more people be within a quarter-mile radius of the station. At that particular time, I think the population of Pineville was 4,000. And our square miles was 4.5, and right now it's a little over 5 square miles. So it's like putting a 2,500 people in the middle of a postage stamp. That would have created traffic problems.
So let me understand this, because yesterday we had on this program the CEO of Katz, and she's new to town. She's only been here 7 months, so she doesn't know all the history. And I've talked to her predecessors, both of them, and frequently during the building of the Blue Line and after the opening of the Blue Line. And it was always my impression from those conversations and what I read in the paper is that you just didn't want the damn thing there, and you didn't want the stop there because you wanted to protect the character of Pineville, and you thought that would destroy the character of Pineville. Now what I'm hearing is that the destruction of the character of Pineville would have been caused by requirements placed on you.
Correct.
To allow development or to force development.
Correct.
Around the stop. How would you
Correct.
Phrase that?
I'd say what you just said is very accurate.
I've never heard that before.
Yes, we
haven't been paying attention.
Maybe. We attempted to negotiate with them a lower density. That was never allowed. And So in our opinion, it would have completely changed the whole personality of Pineville.
So when they cluck, cluck, cluck and bemoan the absence of a stop there and the terminus there, they have no one but themselves to blame, essentially?
I would say yes.
Now, yesterday we also got into a conversation. Well, I was going to get into this because we were emailed by a listener, George in Charlotte, who asked why Pineville is blocking. And I don't know that you are, but he says, ask why Pineville is blocking the extension of the Blue Line to South Carolina. In other words, even though it doesn't stop in Pineville, are you objecting to it passing through?
No.
Oh, okay.
And at some point in time. Down the road, see, it would have to have a change because the light rail could not be extended to Rock Hill without some type of change. In other words, you can't have the same train going to Rock Hill that stops in north of 485 there. So at some point in time, there's going to have to be some type of transition take place, and probably Pineville could very well be the place that that does. But we have been deemed to be completely against light rail, and that has not been the case at all. We've been against what it would do to Pineville. We've been more for Pineville in relation to the situation than against light rail.
Jim Taylor, I want to get your take on this because you're in Matthews, and yep. I think it's the Silver Line.
The Silver Line is what's been dubbed, yes.
Yeah, is going to be going at some point from Charlotte Center City through Matthews, and we don't know yet whether it's going to be bus lines, rail lines, whatever.
Correct.
What would you want it to be, or would you want it? Do you want a terminus or a terminal in Matthews?
We'd want both. We'd actually, we want terminals, plural, in Matthews, and there's been some identified. We're probably in favor, at least from my perspective, more of the light rail than the bus rapid transit. I think the infrastructure or the investment in infrastructure or private investment around those stations would be much greater with light rail. We do need to have a couple of stations in Matthews, but it needs to get under or over 485 and end over at CPCC. That is the key to the whole thing, because of all the traffic coming from Union County, for it not to go there and probably at some point extend into Union County.
And are you not concerned about the same things that George Fowler is concerned about, and that is the destruction of whatever character Matthews has left? If you have to beef up the population to support those stations, or does the population already exist to support those stations?
The population does not exist currently to support those stations, but we think we can manage that growth. We've identified where we think we need to focus on higher density residential housing. We have the Matthews Sportsplex, which we've been dealing with and trying to get that built. Mecklenburg County bonds have been passed by the voters, just the capacity issue we're dealing with now. That is on the I'll call it the Charlotte side of 485. That is on the transit line. It'll have mixed-use development, residential, commercial, office, plus the 12 soccer field sports complex, family entertainment center. This will be a regional draw for the area. And then, as I stated earlier, it'll either go under or over 485 and end over there at CPCC. That's the key. We welcome it. We want it definitely to be rail, though, at this point.
I have to take a break. We got to this much sooner in the conversation than I thought we were going to. And this is not a conversation about light rail or transportation. It's about historic preservation. But as long as Dan Gott is on this track, no pun intended, we will roll down it for a while longer, sure, and then come back to historic preservation in Pineville and Matthews and other places around town. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is made possible in part today by First Citizens Bank, dedicated to helping small business owners succeed by understanding them, their business, and their vision. 1-866-FCB-4BIZ. And by Winston-Salem State University, offering a traditional campus setting and progressive programs to prepare a diverse student body for success in the 21st century. WSSU.edu/tellmemore. Well, home sales are one area of the economy experiencing serious problems. It's kind of a roller coaster. Sales plummeted with the recession. They came up with tax credits, decreased again when they ended. But interest rates are low. So what's going on here? And how are things doing in Charlotte? We'll take a look at the state of real estate and get some expert thoughts on it all tomorrow morning at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Some conservative lawmakers suggest eliminating automatic citizenship for children of illegal immigrants, increasing political pressure for new immigration laws.
That's the topic on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks. Here on Listener Funded, 90.7 FM, WFAE, your NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about historic preservation in the areas surrounding Charlotte. And we have with us in our midst the mayor of Matthews, Jim Taylor, and the mayor of Pineville, George Fowler, and Dan Morrill, who's historian and the director of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Historic Landmarks Commission. And Dan got us on this.
Well, you know, I think this is an historic preservation issue.
Okay.
Because take for example, Alexandria,
mm-hmm.
MARTA. Comes
that'd be Atlanta. Metro.
Metro, excuse me.
It's okay.
Metro. It comes to Alexandria.
It does.
Above ground. Mm-hmm. But Alexandria has many, many historic buildings, has a scale that is basically pedestrian friendly,
uh-huh.
and that happens
and
because
Metro does not come to the center. It skirts the outside of historic.
That's correct. But also, Alexandria has very, very strong historic preservation regulations on those historic buildings. That's what Matthews has to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Pineville has to do, in my judgment. And that is, as you plan for the future, that have in place, first of all, identify those elements of your built or man-made environment that give the historic character to your town. That not only means buildings, it also means spaces. If you take, for example, Matthews, part of the character of Matthews, the area that is immediately west of Trade Street, is its lack of density.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you've got big yards, it's almost got a rural feel to it. You don't want to fill that up. If you think that, if you want to keep your historic character of your town.
Right.
So you have to have a comprehensive historic preservation plan in place, which is part of anticipating the arrival of this light rail.
And I don't know whether you said this on the air or off the air, Jim Taylor, but you said that unlike Pineville, the Lynx Silver Line would
right.
not be coming through the center of historic downtown.
Correct. The plan would bring it right down what's called Independence Point Parkway,
mm-hmm.
And then shoot it over to CPC. That way we would not be going right through the heart of downtown Matthews.
And here's where the future and the present collide with the past, it seems to me, because at some point in the distant future, the blue line, the silver line, the red line, all these lines, all these transportation corridors and all the vehicles that run on them will be historic.
Sure.
So do you plant yourself firmly in the middle of the 19th century and stay there forever? Or do you allow for 21st century development that in the 22nd century will be historic?
To deny change is to deny life. Preservation is not about preventing change. It's mm-hmm. about planning for change, controlling change. Mm-hmm. And if you think about things that you have from your past, I'm sure you've had to throw a lot of things away.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't throw a lot of things away, you can't get anything.
Right.
The same thing is true, of course, with a community. A community has to adapt to change, but there are certain character-defining elements of a community that if you lose them, you're going to change the nature of the town.
How would the two of you describe the character-defining elements of Pineville and Matthews? And let's begin with Pineville and George Fowler.
I think the important thing is that the town has an identity in which it wants to keep, but at the same time wants to move forward because 15, 16 years ago, we only had 700 single-family houses in Pineville, and our governing board was aging out. All of our governing boards were aging out. We needed young people. We were losing young people simply because there was no place for them to move if they wanted to come to Pineville or if they lived there and wanted a larger house. So we were on a dying mission. In order to correct that, we needed new developments to come into Pineville, but we wanted developments that we would be proud of when they were built and be proud of them 30 years from now as well. So that meant a change in our planning, a change in our zoning, a planning in our ordinances, everything designed to make quality of development and developers want to come to Pineville. Mm-hmm. We were successful in one just south of the rail line there called Traditions. Houses in there sell from $200,000 to $300,000. We now have John Whelan homes down close to the South Carolina line. There will be 800 homes in there that are from $300,000 to $600,000. This brings in a level of housing that people with young families can move to. They're going to be in the schools. They're going to be in the recreation programs. They're going to hopefully be future leaders of the town and involved with the town. Mm-hmm. Had we allowed transit to come in, our population would have then been concentrated right in the center of town in 6 to 7 story buildings. Right now we don't allow 6 or 7 story high buildings, but that's what we would have seen right there in the middle of town.
Couldn't you have moved it out of the middle of the town?
Well, the rail line comes right through the middle of town.
Well, yeah, but couldn't you put the stop before you get to Pineville or after you leave Pineville, but close enough to have parking and housing and all the things that they required and not destroy the character of the area?
Well, where they wanted it to be was just either north of Main Street there or south of Main Street. Mm-hmm. And it would not, again, we're only a 4.5 square mile town, so right. there was not enough room there that was going to allow...
Okay.
Without being disruptive. We would not have those housing developments had transit come in.
I get the impression, and I could be completely wrong about this, that Matthews is bigger? Is that?
Well, Matthews is bigger, yeah. Matthews has a population of just short of 30,000, and depending on who you ask, between 13 and 15 square miles.
And how would you describe the characteristics that make your place special?
Well, the heart and soul clearly is downtown Matthews, mm-hmm. John Street and Trade Street. Everybody that talks about Matthews talks about Renfro Hardware and the old buildings that are down there. That is clearly what draws people to town, but it's not what you know. It's not the entire town.
Okay.
We have the town hall, which was actually built in 2001, the Matthews Station project, which was a joint private public private joint venture. People that are new to the community think that's been there a lot longer than it's been there. So we're able to sort of blend the new with the old, and in my opinion, very well. What we need to do, though, going forward is expand out. We have a number of 485 interchanges that are in Matthews that we have an opportunity, one being at 485 and 74 along the Sportsplex that I mentioned earlier, that we can go out and attract good development, good commercial development, to bring high-paying jobs to the town of Matthews, to allow people to live, work, increase that density in the town of Matthews to support a Silver Line stop in certain areas. Right now, as I'm sure Pineville is to some degree, and the surrounding towns, you've got people that are living in these towns that are coming to the center core of Charlotte to work. What we need to plan for in the future is having some of those high-paying, good-paying jobs closer to where they're going to live.
You mentioned, I believe, George Fowler, that if you'd come to Pineville 20 or 30, I think it was 20 or 30 years ago, you said it would have been a very different picture that we see. Are you saying that you've lost a lot of history in those years, and you're playing catch-up now to preserve what's left?
Yeah, we're playing catch-up, definitely. We have lost a lot. And we've lost things like the old Pineville Depot. It used to be right there on the railroad tracks. That was done away with. We had a little log cabin library down there that was done away with. Things like that, the cotton gin, Miller's Cotton Gin.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that that were really part of what Pineville was all about. And, of course, all that centered around Cone Mills. And that's where we had the Mill Village houses around Cone Mills there. But that was the big thing. That's how Pineville actually started, was Cone Mills. Or wasn't Cone then, but it eventually became
so. What is driving the historic preservation desires in both of your towns? Is it leadership, political leadership? Is it the citizenry? Is it people like Dan Morrill and the Historic Landmarks Commission prodding you to save these structures?
No, I wouldn't say there's any prodding. I think it's a combination of the community as well as the leadership of the town. The community has said a number of times that the history is important, and the leadership of the town has said the exact same thing. And we've worked with Dan's group and over the years to preserve a number of buildings, and it's worked out very well. It's actually been profitable in some respects with some of the projects.
And it seems to me that these two towns have historic centers that are legitimately historic. They haven't torn down everything that gave it that made it look like Pineville 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Charlotte kind of has, hasn't it, Dan?
It goes back to what I said. You know, Charlotte is a city of newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the new head of CATS. I never have met her. I'm sure she's a fine person, but mm-hmm. she's a newcomer. Charlotte does not sell itself as an historic place.
It's a new
city. I mean, that's fundamental.
Okay.
And we run into it. So now, the only place here that you get some sense of history being special is in some of the neighborhoods. The Dilworth, the Elizabeth,
right.
the Biddleville.
But then doesn't that make historic preservation in places like Pineville and Matthews and Cornelius and Davidson, it's that much more important and that much more special?
Well, it does, because, you know, we haven't talked about Davidson.
Okay.
You know, Davidson is an incredible cultural treasure. I mean, if you go to Davidson, there is some of the finest antebellum federal-style architecture in the Piedmont. Eumenian Hall, Philanthropic Hall, Elm Row, Oak Row, Helper Hotel. These are magnificent buildings, all of which predate the Civil War.
Hmm.
We also, of course, have a wonderful turn of the last century, Main Street. For instance, people talk about farmers markets. Probably one of the most really popular farmers market is in Davidson. Davidson has a tremendous farmers market. And if you go up to downtown Davidson and just go in the coffee shops up there, it's an entirely different world. It's an entirely different place. And therefore, we need to preserve these places for the benefit of all of us. I mean, they are cultural artifacts. They are cultural treasures. And let me say this. There's a house in Pineville, big bungalow, the Oakley House,
mm-hmm.
that was going to be torn down. It was within a hair's breadth of being sold for a regional-based drugstore. I don't know whether it was CVS or Rite Aid or whatever. But it was going to be torn down.
Mm-hmm.
We bought it. And the Landmarks Commission.
Right.
With our revolving fund. We sold it. We put protective covenants in the deed. It can never be torn down without our approval. Period. We've bought two buildings in the commercial core of Pineville. 316, 330. And we're negotiating for another on Main Street in Pineville. When we sell those buildings, they're currently leased, the two we own. When we sell them, we'll put the protective covenants in the deed so that they can never be torn down without our approval. That means the developer is never going to be able to assemble that block. Mayor Taylor was talking about a project we did in Matthews with the old Funderburk buildings, which was an old grist mill and general merchandise stores. They were going to be torn down. They were condemned. They were going to be gone. The town joined 50-50 with us in putting up $220,000 to acquire those buildings, restore them, and sell them, and we ended up with a profit. We gave the town all its money back, plus a small profit, and we put protective covenants in the deed. Mm-hmm. They can never be torn down without our approval.
Now, there would be those who would say, this is not the business of government.
It's not the primary business of government, but the preservation of our history and where we came from, I think, is. And to Dan's point, the project in Matthews that he referenced, yes, it was $250,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
The money was returned to the town's coffers with a profit of $6,000. The project made $12,000. Those buildings were saved. Those buildings are now being used by the private. They were sold to the private sector. They're being used now by the private sector. They're productive, they're beautiful, and they'll be there for an awful long time for future generations.
Yeah.
So I think it was a win-win.
Now, Jim Taylor said a minute ago that this historic preservation efforts bring money into the coffers. It's good for business, it's good for government, it's good for the taxpayer. Have you found the same to be true in Pineville, George Child?
Well, we have. I'm a very strong supporter of the Landmarks Commission and certainly of Dan Morrill. I think that their involvement with the town of Pineville has been tremendous in helping us focus, too, on what our preferences should be in historic designation and preservation and showing us what we had in Pineville that we see it so much every day, we really didn't realize it.
I was going to ask, because that's true. You take for granted the things that you see every day. You pass down the same street, you don't even see what the buildings look like until one day you say, oh, where did that come from? How, when you look around, how do you decide what ought to be preserved, what is deserving of being preserved, and how much value to put on it? Because not everything is equal in value, I suppose, but maybe some things could be let go for progress, where other things need to be saved and worked around. How do you decide?
Well, I'll go first. That's where we've utilized Dan's group tremendously. Everybody may have their own opinion as to what may be worthy of preserving, as you stated, and saving, but you can't save everything. You have to make room for progress and what we have today, because today's stuff will be historical somewhere down the road. So we've partnered very well, and Dan has been tremendous with the project we have. We're working on a project right now, the Moore House, and trying to preserve that. That was very close to being torn down when a company came in and bought the property with the intent of actually bulldozing the building. And we're in zoning negotiations right now to actually preserve that and allow the developer to do their project and incorporate an old 1880s, I believe, Dan, building that an old 1880s old farmhouse into their project. And I think, again, it'll be a win-win. The community will be able to preserve its history and will be able to use it and be functional.
You're moving the farmhouse.
That's yet to be determined. Okay. It's not been moved yet, but that's one of the suggestions.
How do you determine what's worth saving?
I think same thing what Jim's just said. We use Dan's leadership a lot in that and showing us what is important and what really has some value to it.
Later in the program, I want to talk about some specific structures that people might go, I would never have thought that was worth saving, but you're intent on saving it. But before we do that, is it easier to save something that is 17th, 18th century than something from the 20th century? You were on this program, a year ago. We talked about some of the 1960s housing in Charlotte that has suddenly become historic. And people think, well, I grew up in that house. How could that be historic?
Well, most people think nothing's historic since they were born.
Okay.
I mean, that's a fact. Yeah. Most people think if it's historic, it had to happen before they were born.
That's right.
There is a in many ways, the worst enemy of historic preservation is what's called the Williamsburg complex. A lot of people think that's what's historic. It has to look that way. It has to be of that era, have to be of that age. But I tell you, regardless, the one fundamental reality that has to be in place to be able to preserve something is it's got to be economically viable.
We'll come back and talk more about historic preservations in the towns surrounding Charlotte in just a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is made possible in part today by Carolina's Medical Center, recognized as a preferred hospital for 12 years based on an annual survey of Charlotte area residents by the National Research Corporation. Details at carolinasmedicalcenter.org. And by the ABIO Group, a division of Project Managers, Inc., a consulting firm that supports businesses through planning, managing, executing, and sustaining business transformations. On the web at wemanagechange.com. Some conservative lawmakers have suggested eliminating automatic citizenship for children of illegal immigrants. We take a look at the implications of increasing political pressure for new immigration laws at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show this morning. And if you'd like to join our conversation about historic preservations in the towns surrounding Charlotte, 704-926-WFAE would be one way to do it. That's 704-926-9323 or 800-603-WFAE or WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks.
What does the phrase Southern cooking bring to mind?
Fried chicken.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Collard greens.
Peach cobbler.
Fattening.
Join WFAE in a public conversation as Chef Peter Reinhart leads a forum on Southern cooking and how the tradition is evolving in a health-conscious era. Thursday evening, August 19th at the Charlotte Museum of History. Details at WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about historic preservation in towns surrounding Charlotte. Dan Morrill is with us. He's an historian and the director of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Historic Landmarks Commission. We're also joined by two mayors, Mayor Jim Taylor of Matthews and Mayor George Fowler of Pineville. Some comments have come in since our discussion began here on the web and on email, etc. Jennifer writes, it was tough enough saving Charlotte's oldest standing fire station, which you credited before the show, Dan Morrill, to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
The effort was successful in preventing the station from falling to the wrecking ball, and renovations appear to be underway. The 3 months leading up to the owner's announcement that he would preserve the building instead of selling to a developer who would have had him knock it down was a long, tough road. That's an observation with no ending to it, I suppose, but how would you characterize the saving of that building?
Well, I think that there was the marshaling of enough political static for preserving the building.
I think the owner
recognized that he would pay a public relations price mm-hmm. if he didn't go the extra mile.
Are there projects around Charlotte that are equally worth saving and equally tough to save?
By around Charlotte, do you mean within the city of Charlotte?
No, in towns around, like the Davidson, Cornelius, Huntersville, Pineville, Matthews, Mint Hill.
Well, remember what I said at the end? Everything depends upon economic viability.
Okay.
Obviously, preservation is everywhere affected by the downturn in the economy. Mm-hmm. Commercial real estate, in many ways, is in the tank. So there's that, you know, that challenge in
itself.
But
it wasn't 2 or 3 years ago when the Blue Line wanted to come through Pineville. I would think it took a lot of intestinal fortitude to say no to that and to the money that might have come into your, that with hindsight we now know would have come into your coffers had you allowed that kind of development in.
Well, it was. I mean, it wasn't a knee-jerk decision by any stretch of the imagination.
No regrets?
But no, none whatsoever. Could still sleep at night about it. It was down to what is best for the town.
And is that something that we've lost in Charlotte? Because that would have, well, obviously we have the blue
line coming through. Look, Charlotte, in my opinion, many of the people who have thought about things to do for Charlotte, the impact on historical things is so far down the agenda that they don't even take it into account.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so many of them are guided by numbers. Numbers.
Well, you said everything boils down to...
Well, it does. I agree with that. But I'm saying when you talk about transit,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, they'll talk about numbers. You got to have a certain density.
Right.
The reason they say you got to have a certain density is you got to have enough people to get on the vehicle to ride it on the rails.
Right.
They don't think about, well, what does that density do to the nature of the built environment that's in the immediate vicinity? It's, we got to move people. We got to have more people.
In fairness to Charlotte, let's face it. What was there where the density has cropped up? What was there before? Not much. And the character of the south end of Charlotte has been improved vastly.
Well, of course, we started the trolley. Mm-hmm. The trolley was the first thing to go on the line and show that something could go on the
right.
rail. That morphed into the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against transit. I'm saying that among the things that you have to take into account in terms of deciding how you're going to do the transit mm-hmm. is what is it going to be its impact on historic resources. Does that mean that you have to save everything? No, but you need to take it into account.
Okay. Carol on Facebook writes, Matthews Naturally is an initiative to preserve some of the natural resources in and around Matthews. Matthews government is starting to recognize that once it's gone, you can't get it back.
Well, that's very true. Once it is gone, you definitely can't get it back. But I wouldn't say that the Matthews government is just realizing this. I think it's been noticed and dealt with for a number of years. But no matter what you do, you are going to lose things. Unfortunately, we've lost a number of buildings in Matthews. We've lost the livery stable, the cotton gin, things that had some character in downtown mm-hmm. Matthews. The old drugstore had a fire a number of years ago before I ever got to the area. It was a two-story building. It was rebuilt as a one-story building. It's never going to regain that character. But it's true. Paula Lester, who works very closely with Dan's group, who actually was a commissioner in the town of Matthews, is head of our historical task force. She gave a presentation last week and said the exact same words. Once it's gone, right. We can't get it back. So we're focusing on it.
Put your headphones on. We'll take a couple of phone calls from folks, one of whom, Jack from Salisbury, has been holding on for an extensive period of time, I think since yesterday afternoon. Jack, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Dr. Morrill. Jack Thompson, Director of Historic Salisbury.
Well, y'all have done a great job up there. You've done a terrific job.
Well, we really appreciate everything y'all have done down in Mecklenburg County. And I just have a couple of quick points that I wanted to make, and I've heard echoes of it. But when we talk about progress versus preservation, you know, it's a pretty simple thing to see that preservation is progress. And when you look at rehabilitation versus new construction, you know, new construction is much more intensive in materials and less intensive in labor, but rehabilitation is much more labor intensive and less materials intensive. And what does that mean at the end of the day? Jobs. So that's, you know, certainly something to keep in mind. Preservation is also green, you know, the rehab versus demolition scenario. When you demo a building, you end up putting it in the landfill, and you're filling up our landfills with that effort. But rehabilitation keeps the valuable materials in place and out of the landfill, and I think that's something that's often overlooked. Those materials kept in place continue to serve a much more vital role than just sitting in the landfill. And lastly, I want to commend these local leaders in identifying preservation as an economic engine. It is creating a sense of place for these small communities. It is creating a sense of authenticity. It's creating a destination, and you know, I want to praise the local leaders for doing that, because luckily that's something that we were able to get ahead of in Salisbury, and now, you know, we're 40 minutes down the road and we've got visitors coming down here on a regular basis to see our historic resources, and we feel like we've got a pretty good sense of identity here. But
you definitely do.
But I just want to really praise the leadership that I'm hearing in this conversation. And lastly, one of the things that's starting to emerge on the national level is the comprehensive preservation planning effort. You know, these municipalities all have planning departments, and they do transportation plans. They do comprehensive plans for development. And it's time to seriously look at comprehensive plans for the preservation of the built environment in these areas, so that moving down the road, we know that we have the tools in place to really protect these resources. And Dan will be the first to tell you, we don't want to save everything. We just want to save the good stuff. And the good stuff is what is important to us as a nation.
But how do you determine what the good stuff is? That seems subjective to me, Dan.
Well, when you go in a room, how do you decide what is important to have that gives the character to the room? That's the real question. Mm-hmm. It always comes down to the specifics, and it really is a decision for the local community. I mean, it's a local community decision. What is important to you? As I have said to both Mayor Taylor and Mayor Fowler, our job is to be their servant. They're going to set the agenda. We're not going to set the agenda. What do you want us to do? We have an unbelievably sophisticated historic preservation public program in Mecklenburg County, among the leaders in the country. Mm-hmm. What do you want us to do? We can help you, but you have to decide what's important.
Jack, thank you for your call. Let me go to Sam, who's calling us from Matthews.
Downtown Matthews. Okay. In fact, I'm sure the mayor happened to mention the restoration of the Massey Clark home is going quickly, and I bet it's going to be done, what, by the end of this month, Mr. Mayor?
I believe so. I talked to Paula the other day, and she says it's coming along very, very well.
And the Massey Clark home is what?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's an old historic building in downtown Matthews, built around 1880, I believe. It was the site of, when I got to Matthews, the old health center. Wonderful little structure right there at the entrance of Town Hall. And I believe it's just, we're waiting on permitting, I believe, is what Paula had mentioned to me. So it'll be very quick before it's open.
Good deal. I wanted to mention, too, I'm part of the group that, or a member of what's called Historic Charlotte, Inc. which is Diane Aldhouse's group, but there's the new History Consortium brochure is out right now, which is brand new, after about a two-year wait, and it lists all the museums, a lot of the historic sites and properties that are scattered all over Mecklenburg County and into Gastonia, Lincolnton, all the places that people would enjoy seeing. So if they go to the website, and I'm not sure what that is, or call the Historic Charlotte Inc., folks, they'll be happy to send you one. But history is alive and well right now in this region. I think as much as it ever has been. You look at downtown Charlotte and all the museums and things that have popped up in the last year. I know this isn't exactly preservation, but it's still a lot of history involved in the community. So give Dan credit and his group. He's doing a good job. And if it's not for people like Dan, nothing ever happens. So I wish him luck. And the other thing I was going to mention, go to downtown Belmont soon. It's amazing what they've done down there recently with retail, the restaurants, the park, residential. It's a model for the community, or a bedroom community outside Charlotte. And,
yeah, we should point out that we're talking about towns around Mecklenburg County, but other towns out of Mecklenburg County are doing
absolutely
equally good.
Love Belmont. Yeah. Great.
Belmont has done a fabulous job. Okay. But anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Sam.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you,
Sam,
for your call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
As a matter of fact, we have an email about Belmont and other areas. I'm glad to see areas, this person writes, like the towns of Belmont, Mount Holly, Cramerton, McAdenville, working to preserve their downtown districts and their local history. The people of Belmont and Mount Holly especially, they feel the city of Charlotte creeping their way and fully expect an increase in development once the Great Recession hits. So I guess they're in the throes of preserving what's there right now going forward. Alice writes, am I correct in hearing one of your commentators speak against expanding public transportation to the Pineville-Matthews area? So historic preservation means keeping thousands of giant SUVs careening around a small area. Have you ever driven through there on a busy day? It's frustrating and terrifying. Historic preservation is not preserving a town like taxidermy. It is valuing the beauty of existing properties and allowing smart, adaptive reuse. There are only so many museums that one area needs. If Charlotte and the surrounding areas are to become more attractive, then smart development and transit is a must. There is a way to make it all work, and that is what the community leaders should work for. And by the way, more Georgian Revival brick facade cul-de-sacs are not unique nor historic, but they will be someday. Well, any comment? Because Pineville is congested. It's tough driving through Pineville.
Pineville
sometimes
is congested, has always been congested, will continue to be congested for some time to come. Transit would not have solved that.
Okay.
And that is a misnomer. And that's been the kind of thing that has been the argument on the other side.
I want to ask the two mayors here, and I'll begin with you, George Fowler, from Pineville. What you are most proud of in terms of what you've been able to preserve?
I think the integrity of the town, the identity of the town. We were 85% commercial 15 years ago. We have over 6 million square feet of retail space. That's pretty large outside the city of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews and Pineville will generate more sales tax revenue than any other entity outside of Mecklenburg County, outside of Charlotte. So we're neck and neck on that all the time. So we took that, we said we're going to make the best of what we have. Instead of looking at any mistakes and saying we wish we'd have done this differently, mm-hmm. let's look at what we have right now, and let's look at where we are right now, and let's look at where we need to go forward from here.
Okay.
We needed more housing. We needed a lot of things, and we've been very successful in achieving that. We have the Mercedes dealership down there, one of the nicest Felix Sabatis dealership there. We have one thing that I am extremely proud of is Carolina's Medical Center. We went from not having a doctor to Mercy coming in a hospital, and now one of the finest facilities in the Southeast.
So you're going now beyond historic preservation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But historic preservation has been a very important part of maintaining our
What about Matthews?
I'm proud of a lot of things we've done, but as far as what we've historically saved, I would have to say it's probably the community center. The community center is a 1907-ish schoolhouse in downtown mm-hmm. Matthews, which was this close to being torn down. It was dilapidated and actually was wanted to be torn down. We bought it, I believe, from CMS for $1. And we put about $4.5 million into that building, and now it is used for productions, Matthew's Playhouse, exactly. It is a focal point. People talk about it. People think, people have no clue that it was so close to being demolished. Right. I think that's probably one of the best preservations that we've done in Matthews.
Speaking of schools, and I only have a minute left, Dan, up in the Huntersville, Davidson area, or I'm not sure exactly where this is, you bought and restored the Croft Schoolhouse on Old Statesville Road, and you have acquired the former Torrance Lytle School in Huntersville. This is a pre-integration school for African Americans.
Correct.
It looks kind of dilapidated and fairly ordinary. Why is it important?
Well, it's very important to the African American community, okay, because it's an important part of their history. And at least the original building was designed by Lewis Asbury, who was an extraordinarily important architect in Mecklenburg County in the mid-20th century. And we'll be working hard to develop that property.
Tim in Mooresville writes on Facebook, the build it and they will come philosophy is not working in Mooresville. We have a lot of empty plazas, unfinished subdivisions, and a struggling downtown. Historic downtown is the place to be.
And I missed that earlier, but one of the things I'm most proud of is Dan's involvement with our downtown area there and preservation of that. That's been very important.
And you get the last word. Jim Taylor's the mayor of Matthews. George Fowler's the mayor of Pineville. Dan Morrill is the historian and director with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Historic Landmarks Commission. Are you optimistic about going forward with
There's no choice to be optimistic.
I lied. You didn't get the last word. Dan always gets the last word. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.